What was the most fascinating workshop that you had today?
Fire.
Some said fire. They wanted to make Pastor Darren happy. So, you know, shelter, that was fun. Water, that was interesting. The bracelets, that was pretty cool. But there's something about fire. People are fascinated by fire. Yes, it has some danger. Maybe that's why guys enjoy fire. As a little boy, even as young as probably 5, 6, 7 years old, I would be out there with campfire, putting extra wood on the campfire. If the wood ever burnt out, it was probably my fault. Because it's just fun to put more wood on the fire, to make the fire bigger. One thing about this case has a magnetic strip on the back, and then it shuts it down when it folds.
We just saw his password.
Don't worry, but no one knows my password too, so it's not that big a deal. But there's something about fire that is fascinating. You know, I actually have a scar right there from when I was probably about 11 years old. And I did something that wasn't very smart. It was kind of foolish. Burning styrofoam with a lighter, which is okay, all right. But then I went further in to burn another piece of the styrofoam. And then, of course, it dripped down and scarred my hand. And now, 20 years later, I still have the scar. But there's something about fire that is amazing. It's very interesting. And we'll look at it tonight a little bit. You know, as we look throughout this week, what is the whole goal of survival? Does anybody know? You've already answered one question. What is the whole goal of survival? Keep safe. That's good. Good answer. But not... Pardon? Water? Okay. Whoa! The whole goal of survival is to stay alive. If you're out stranded in the woods, there's certain things that you need. We've talked about a few of them this week. We needed shelter. We needed water. Tomorrow night, I believe, we'll be looking at food. And you know, as we look at these different things, they say for survival, you can go 3 weeks without food. That sounds a long time. I barely can go 3 hours without food. But I try to manage, and I try to wait to the 4 or 5 hour mark for the next meal. But you can actually go for 3 weeks without food. And they say the next thing is water. You can go 3 days without water for survival. And each one of these is important. Now they say you can go 3 hours without shelter. Now when you think about shelter, when we think about shelter, most of the time it's a tarp or a tent or something. But this could even be your coat, something that keeps you warm. It's keeping you away from the elements. You know, they say that when you are wet, you get colder 26 times faster than when you're dry. You probably figured that out a little bit yesterday when you got out of the sea. After you're all soaking wet, you ran to get a towel. You tried to get warmed up as fast as you can. So they say 3 hours for shelter. And then, I won't mention it right now, but they say 3 minutes for air. Air is a necessity. We won't look at that, but a positive attitude, they say 3 seconds. Why? Because as soon as you lose hope, you give up on everything else. As soon as you give up hope, you don't care about anything else. You feel you're not going to make it anyways, so you don't even try to make a shelter. You don't even try to find water. You don't even try to find food. And that's it. And so when we think about these things, where's fire in there? You know, some would say fire is not a necessity. It's a lifeline. Because fire, really, it makes up for all three of these, or all four of these things. Because without fire, it can hinder your ability of finding the right food. Without fire, we'll look at it tonight a little bit, and Pastor mentioned it, there's bacteria in water. And so you have to purify it. Without fire, it's hard to have a good shelter and keep you warm. And then, without fire, as I mentioned earlier, there's something amazing about fire. When you sit around it, you can get a whole crowd standing around a campfire, and everybody is speechless. They're all staring at the fire. There's something comforting about a fire, unless you're a mother and you have a lot of children running around the fire. Then it can be a little stressful. But otherwise, there is something peaceful and relaxing looking at a fire, especially when you're out in the wild. There's nobody else around and it's cold and freezing, but yet you have a fire. So we'll look at these things. And you know, as we think about these things, there's another thing about fire. Fire has power. You know, everything that you look around, most of the power that you see and you use is created by fire. You know, the electricity that we use, you don't see any fire around, but a lot of times it's from a power plant, burning coal, especially in the past. And how did you get here? Well, you came by automobile. There was fire blowing up constantly inside of the engine. And not only that, but when you cook your food, heat your house. Does everybody enjoy a warm shower? Yes. It's fire. And most of the time, we do not see the fire. We do not see the power behind and what is taking place. You know, we looked at, or it was mentioned about fire. There's three natural powers, if you will. Basically, that is wind, water, and fire. But you know, if I took a drop of water, could I flood a city? No. If I just gave a puff of air, could I blow down a building? No. But yet, with this one little flame, you could have a whole forest fire. One little flame. You know, fire, there's something amazing about fire. Now, we could talk a lot about fire tonight, but do you think that's what we're really here talking about? No. What can we apply this to our lives spiritually? You know, tonight we're going to be talking about prayer. And just as we talked about fire, most of the time you do not see it, but yet there is great power in the fire, just as there is great power in prayer. But you know, the sad thing is most Christians do not go to their knees. They do not go and pray to Christ. They do not pray to God and ask for that power until they're in dire straits and they're in the hard times. You know, the time to practice starting a fire. You saw what was going on. Lloyd was showing you how to use a flint and start up a fire. The best time to practice that, would that be when it's freezing cold and when the rain is coming down? Is that the best time to practice it? No. The best time to practice it is now when it's comfortable, when it's not a necessity, and you're getting good at it now so that when the time comes, you're not frustrated about it, but you'll be able to put it into practice. You know, the same thing with our lives in prayer. Most people wait until they're in the hardest times of their life, and then they try to go to the Lord in prayer. God doesn't want us to wait until that point. He desires for us to have a daily walk with Him, having that relationship with Him each and every day, so that when the times do come that are difficult, We already have that relationship with Him. Tonight we'll go ahead and take the Word of God and turn to the Gospel according to Luke. What most people or many people call the Lord's Prayer, and I don't call it the Lord's Prayer, it is His model prayer. Many of you may have memorized this at different times, maybe a church that you've gone to or different places. You've memorized it or you've learned it, and we'll look at different aspects of this prayer. And as we apply these things into our life, how does this affect us? Luke chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse 1 and just read down through verse 4. And we'll think about prayer. Luke chapter 11, and it begins in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying," as Jesus was praying in a certain place, "when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Notice, it says, teach us to pray, not how to pray. The disciples are saying, Lord, teach us to make this a priority in our life. Not necessarily how to pray, but Lord, teach us to pray. He continues on in verse 2. He says, "And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, as we look through this passage, we'll see how this really does affect every other area in our life. As he begins in this passage, and we'll be looking at four different things tonight, the very first one is our personal relationship with God. Notice how when he started out this prayer, he says, "Our Father, which art in heaven." You know, when we think about our personal relationship, we think of if you are stranded in the woods, you finally get that fire going, and you're able to sit next to it and warm up. It gives you that renewed hope. It gives you that new strength. You know, as we think about our Father, this is the person that we are praying to. But the question I have to you tonight is He your Father? Can you even say these words, "Our Father"? Now, you may be able to say God, you may be able to say Creator, but are you able to say "Our Father"? Have you become a child of God? In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The only way you can have a personal relationship with God is through prayer to God, asking Him to forgive you of your sins. We think of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, how He died there for us. He didn't deserve to die. Jesus Christ was perfect. He came to this earth, He lived a perfect life, sinless life, and He went to the cross to make the payment for you and me. Because we deserve death. Every one of us could admit that we have sinned. We have done certain things against God. Lying, taking things that don't belong to us, maybe cheating. So many different things that we have committed against God. And we deserve punishment. But yet God has made a way for us to be redeemed back to Himself. And as Romans 10 verse 13 mentions, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That means every single one of us here this evening has the opportunity to ask God to forgive you of your sins. Jesus Christ has already made the payment. We don't have to make another payment. The Bible mentions, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Christ has already made the payment. And God desires for us to come to Him through prayer, asking God to forgive us of our sins. On Monday, Pastor Matt mentioned about our shelter, and God is our shelter. He is the one that protects us. He is our fortress. And as it mentions, our Father which art in heaven. God is sitting on the throne. He desires to protect us. He desires to keep us safe. But most of all, He desires for you to be His child. As we continue on, not only do we find our personal relationship through prayer with God in heaven, we could look in great depth in the next few words as it says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. But we're going to continue on to verse 3 as it says, Give us day by day our daily bread for our provision. Now we could look at our physical provision, and he's speaking about physical provision. But you know, I think most of us, if you pray, or may I say when you pray, I hope you do pray, probably most of your prayers are praying for provisional needs. Things that you want. So tonight as we're looking at the different spiritual aspects of shelter, of water, of food, and tonight we're looking at the spiritual aspects of fire, we'll look at the spiritual bread, the spiritual food. You know, as we think, as the Word of God, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We desire food, and I believe tomorrow we'll learn more about food. So we're not going to look at that as much. But you know, when you go to the Word of God, how many of you like raw food, raw meat? You know, always cook your meat. Nobody wants raw meat. It doesn't taste very good. Now, I like my meat a little bit red, but definitely not like this. But you know, as we think about this, Psalms chapter 119, verse 18, it says, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. How many of you have ever gone to your Bible in the morning, having devotions, and you read your passage, and you walked away as though you didn't get anything out of it? It didn't help you. You read it through, just as you were told to do, but it didn't do anything in your heart. You know, so many times when we read the Word of God, we are doing it out of duty. We're doing it because our pastor or assistant pastor or our parents have told us, read your Bible. You know, as David prayed, he said, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, when we go to the Bible and we read the Bible as our spiritual food, but yet we do not apply the spiritual fire through prayer before we read the Bible, it's almost as though we're eating raw food. It's not cooked. The body cannot digest uncooked food as well as it can digest cooked food. You know, when we read the Bible and we go through it, we have not asked God to apply it to our life. We've not gone before God and said, God, please teach me something today. And when we do that, God will teach us. God will help us to understand His Word. The next thing as we continue on in this passage, Luke chapter 11, verse 4, it says, And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. You know, today we looked at purification. We think of water. Pastor Darren, he showed different tips of how to clean the water from physical things. You know, get the sticks out, get the chunks out, get it a little bit cleaner, and it was pretty good. But yet there's something in there that you may not even see. And that's bacteria. I think some of you were raising your hand and wanted to answer that. But there's bacteria many times, especially if you get it out of a swamp and you go through all the different processes of cleaning it out, but yet there can be little tiny pieces of bacteria in there. Now I'm going to tell you something, a little tip. Pastor held it off because I had mentioned it last night to him. There's something. Now, Pastor, he had several different things there around him with the water purifying and cleaning it out. But did you notice that he did not have anything metal? What if you were there, out in the wild, you ran out of water in your water bottle? Now, anybody that was on my team, don't answer this. But how would you get clean water, get rid of the bacteria, if all you have is a plastic jug or a plastic bowl? Any thoughts? Pardon?
With a sieve,
okay? We've done the sieve, we've cleaned out all the big stuff, but now it's the bacteria. How are you going to do it?
Boil it.
Okay, boil it. Do you think you can boil water in plastic over an open flame?
Yes.
The answer is yes, you can. As long as the fire does not go higher than the level of water in the bottle. Now, this is one of the things that I did try when I was younger. And it worked. It was amazing. You can actually boil water in a plastic jug or in a plastic bowl as long as the water does not go, or the fire does not go higher than the water. So just a little tip there. So here you see a picture of somebody boiling water in a bottle there. But you know, as we think about this, how does this apply into my life? Purifying. You know, in our lives, we all know that we're sinners. But yet, if I was to ask you today, what sin did you commit today? How many of you could raise your hand and say, I know this was my sin? I'm not asking for anybody to raise your hand. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Most of us, we would say, I am a sinner. But then if we were to ask what sin we sinned today, we'd say, I don't know. I don't think I did sin. But then if we were pressed, we'd say, no, I had to sin. But I don't know what sin it might have been. And most of the time, the sin in our lives, in our eyes, we don't think it's there. It's gone through the filter, but it's the bacteria that we don't see. You know, Psalms 139, verse 23 and verse 24, as we go to God, we ask God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, if I was to ask you, what sin did you commit today? Most of you probably wouldn't have a clue. But if I was to say, do you think God knows every sin that you committed today? Yes. Would that list be very long? Giannis, notice what it said. Know my heart. Not even just the actions, but the desires. Things that other people don't see, but it's in the heart. And then it also mentions the thoughts. The things you're thinking. Not what you're necessarily acting on, but even the thoughts. God knows everything about us. And so when we go and confess our sins to God, this ought to be our prayer. God, you search me. I've looked, and I'm not able to find necessarily a lot of sin, but I know you can. And as this verse in Luke chapter 4, or 11 verse 4, it says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that indebted to us. We ought to go to God, and He is the only one that can purify us. He is the only one that can cleanse us. Just as fire, when you heat up water, kills that bacteria. You heat up the meat, you heat up different foods, and it kills bacteria. It prepares it so God can work in our hearts. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, after we become a Christian, we cannot lose our salvation. Are we going to continue to sin? Yes. You know, just as a family, have any of you children committed a sin against your parent and ever felt that you are not your parents' child anymore? Now, I don't think any of you felt like that. I don't know, some of you, have you felt that way? That you were not your parents' child anymore? Oh, I'm sorry. We can be assured, no matter what we do to our parents, we are always their parents. But when you've sinned against your parents, have you ever tried to hide? You try to leave the room. When your parents come home, you hurry up and go up to your bedroom. And you try to stay away from your parents. What has happened? The relationship between you and your parent has been broken. You'll never be taken away from being your parent's child. But you can have that relationship broken. And the same thing with our relationship with God. We will never be removed from being His child when we commit sin. But that fellowship can be broken. And it's through prayer as we go back to God and ask Him to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that fellowship can be renewed once again. And then as we continue on, the last portion here is our protection. He says there in the end of verse 4 of chapter 11, he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You know, just as fire, really in this passage, you could think about two different thoughts. As it mentions leading us, a torch, giving direction, giving light, showing the way in which to go. Lead us not into temptation. A torch can show you where the bad spots are in the path. Helps you to guide around. And so through prayer, we can ask God to guide us. But also, as it mentions here, but deliver us from evil. There at the last skit, it mentioned you heard the coyotes howling. No, there's something else. And I haven't noticed it as much here in the UK. But when you're in Michigan and you're out in the wild, the mosquitoes will eat you alive. They are horrible. And one thing that the fire does and the smoke, it keeps mosquitoes away. It keeps the predators away. It keeps the coyotes. It keeps the foxes. It keeps those things away because they're scared of fire. Mosquitoes don't like the smell of smoke. You know, when we are in a right relationship with God, the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Can any of us fight the devil in our own strength? No. Have any of you ever tried with all of your strength to do what was right and yet you still failed? We all have. And that's why we have to go to the Lord and ask Him to help us. It's through His strength. And as I mentioned, submit yourself therefore to God. As we draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. The verse before, James chapter 4 and verse 7, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." And then it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So as we look at these things here tonight, how is your personal relationship with God? Can you call Him your Father? When you pray to Him, can you just only look up in heaven and say, "God, please help me"? Or can you truly say, "Our Father, my Father, which is in heaven"? And then provision. Speaking of the spiritual provision, going to the Word of God, do we pray and ask God, "Open mine eyes, help me to see the wondrous things in thy law"? And then the purification. Just as fire purifies water, removes the bacteria that you can't see. So as we go to God, "Search me, O God. Help me to see the sin that I can't see myself. Remove that sin." And then the protection. "God,
deliver me from evil. Protect me from Satan. Keep me from that which is evil. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day you've given to us. We thank you for each camper that is out this week. Lord, I don't know where you are, where they are spiritually. But I'm sure there are some here tonight that do not know thee as their Savior. They have never asked you to forgive them of their sins. Lord, I pray that you would help them. Work in their hearts tonight. Help them to put their faith and trust in you. And we thank you for the one that made a profession of faith last night, late in the evening, but yet she knew it was important. Lord, help others not to go past the night without making sure. Lord, each one of these, help us to be pure in our hearts. Help us as we go to the Word of God. Keep us from temptation and Satan. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.